Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk. Ask the Expert on Lunchtime Live.
Now, every Wednesday afternoon at this time, we bring in an expert to answer your questions, to give you free advice. And today, I am talking to Joey Donnelly from Crofton Motors in Kimmage in Dublin. We're here to chat about, well, I suppose, ironing out the dents in a car and electrical problems. Joey, everything in between. How are you?
I'm very good. Thanks for having me here.
Good. Not at all. It's 087 1400 106. That's the WhatsApp number. Send us in a voice note, or if you want to chat to Joey yourself, give us a buzz. It's 1800 453 106. This listener says they have a lovely 2013 Audi A3. The head gasket seems to be about to go. They're wondering, is it worth investing in it? If so, what are their options? As in, what do I have to ask the mechanic?
Good question. And it kind of depends. I think context is always important, as in where they are with the car. So if the car, they've had it for the last, you know, 10 years and they've had it since brand new and they know every bolt that's been put into it, then you'd say it might be worthwhile spending money on it. A head gasket replacement on the car can be, it's definitely a four figure number anyway. It's in thousands, not hundreds.
Oh, so is it?
Yeah, it's a fairly big job.
2013 is a relative, is it? I would classify as a relatively new car.
Oh, we'd see lots of newer cars than that getting head gaskets these days. So yeah, that's not, wouldn't be uncommon. But I would say it really depends on where they're at. If they were already thinking about looking to get a new car and they were into refinancing, then it might be an idea to trade it in as is. But if they know the car in terms of the value and what it means to them, I think it's always worthwhile investing. But definitely they're going to be in a four-figure number. I'd say make sure they speak to their mechanic and just get really good, transparent information. I always say that it's really clear to engage with the mechanic, find out exactly what the problem is, what they're getting, what they're paying for, and what the result might look like.
So if they're planning to keep this car for a while, look into changing this gasket, and if not...
Yeah, if not, then, but the problem is with a car that has a suspected head gasket, it loses value drastically. So it's very hard to trade in a car with a suspected head gasket problem. You know, it'd be difficult to trade in the whole of its health and be stand over it if you were giving it in. So you'd need to be saying, look, the car has a bit of an issue, and that would be reflected in the trade-in value. So if it was worth $6,000 on a trade-in value, it'll now be worth $4,000 on a trade-in value because it has that sort of money needed to be put into it in order for it to be resold.
This texter has a 2004 Ford Fiesta with a gearbox leaking. How dangerous is it driving this car?
In terms of dangerous, I don't know. In terms of a scale, it's probably not incredibly dangerous. It may lose drive, and obviously any car that may lose drive could put you in a pretty precarious position. So to put my official hat on it, it's not ideal. It's not a good thing to be driving a car with a defect like that.
How do they know that?
And they may have been to a mechanic and they may have told them that the gearbox is leaking or weeping. So, as I said, it kind of depends in context of how bad the leak is. Is it affecting gear change? Is it affecting the actual drive of the car? So it really depends on how severe. In a 2004 Focus, again, wouldn't be uncommon for cars. The Ford Focus or Ford Fiesta, should I say, they do drive shaft oil seals would be very common in terms of leaking for those cars.
So do they need to get that fixed?
Yeah, I'd say it'd be worthwhile getting done. Again, depending on how well they look after the car and, you know, what their future plans are for it. But it would be something you would be looking to get tidied up.
087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. This listener says their traction control light has started flashing sporadically and the traction control kicks in, making the car kind of stall. What is that a sign of, and is it dangerous?
That is definitely a dangerous one. Obviously, without knowing the make and model, I would suspect, I'm going to take a guess and say it may be a BMW. They do have a problem with the ABS sensors failing on them, and they can cause the car to run a bit sporadically and the traction control might kick in. Anything where your anti-lock braking system or your traction control system is kicking in or doing something that affects your, you know, normal driving, I would say you absolutely have to get that checked as soon as possible.
Really?
It may be something as simple as what's called an ABS or a speed sensor that's given a problem, or it may be something a bit more complex, but definitely get that checked.
I scratched the side of my Toyota off a bollard. It's slightly dented. Where's the best place to get it sorted, or is there anything I can do to fix it myself?
Well, I don't want to self-advertise too much, but Crofton Motors in Kimmage, depending on where you are in the country.
Presumably any mechanics could do that, is it?
Well, it's a
panel
body
beating?
Shop. No, panel beating a body shop. So it's different than mechanics. So we do that as well. That's our primary work. It depends how bad it is. So go and speak to either your local mechanic or a local body shop. Get a bit of a cost. They might be able to give you a couple of different options. Some of the marks may be able to buff out and that might be suitable for your eye and you might be happy enough with that result, or you might want it absolutely perfectly and you might need to spend a few quid on it. So it really depends on what you want to do. But shop in your local body shop, a good independent. Get a price, get a bit of an idea of costing. and go from there.
Okay. I have an electrical fault in my dashboard, says this listener. The mechanic has looked at it, fixed the problem, but the light won't go off. Will I fail the NCT because of this, or how will I fix it and get it off?
It depends. I don't want to argue with the listener, but the mechanic probably hasn't fixed the problem if the light hasn't gone off. So it probably needs further investigation. Yeah, go back and have a look and see and get clear information exactly of what was done. And if the light is on, depending on what light it is, it probably will fail the NCT. Most lights on dashboards now that aren't supposed to be there are direct NCT failed. So it would need to be tidied up by the mechanic.
087 1400 106. If you have a question for Joey Donnelly today. Now, this is an interesting one. Any recommendations, Joey, for a good starter car? My daughter wants to learn to drive, so I'm wondering what would be a good car for her. Nothing too big or powerful.
Yeah, it's a really good question, and we get this asked quite a lot. There's loads of different makers.
I have
a Polo. And you know what's becoming increasingly popular? Again, there's a bit of a shift in terms of younger people today. Now, a lot of people are learning in automatic transmission vehicles and not driving a clutch or a stick, as they call it in America. Yeah, so there is a bit of a push towards that because there's so many more hybrid cars. More and more automatics are becoming popular. So little Polo automatics, there's any amount of them in a few different dealers all around the country. A lot of them are actually Japanese imports, so do watch out for that. There's a few questions to be asked there, but they're all fine. The Japanese import market is kind of supplementing the Irish market currently because post-Brexit, the rules and regulation of VRT charges changed in terms of tax implication for importing from the UK. So actually, a lot of the dealers now are moving towards Japanese imports. But those little Polos, you can get them in automatics and manuals, but they're really popular amongst the young people today. All the young guys and girls driving around in 14 and 15 white Polo seem to be very popular amongst.
Mine was navy.
And there you go.
And I don't know what shirt must, I just, what year it was when I bought it.
Did you call her Polly? My sister had a Polo and she was always Polly. There you go. Polly the Polo.
I don't know what we call it. It was navy. And I remember, oh my God, I was such an idiot. I had one of those steering wheel
covers on absolutely it. Lethal.
Yeah,
oh, they slip on them. Yeah, they're kind of dangerous. Some of them can be quite
dangerous.
I don't
have one now, just for clarity. But I was quite young.
But look,
I was
to put my global hat on, there is lots of different makes and models in that small market. It doesn't have to be a Volkswagen Polo. There's lots of different makes and models. But yeah, they're very popular these days.
Now, this listener has a 2020 Range Rover Evoque 2-litre diesel. They bought it new. They've always had the oil changed, etc. on time. The Jeep has never given any bother at all, but their local mechanic keeps saying to sell it because the engines in these apparently fail with a 10 to 15 grand replacement cost. Now, the dealers are going to give a terrible trade in value for it, says this listener. So I'm wondering, should we keep it and chance nothing will go wrong, or are there other options? The mileage is 150,000.
Now, this one, we could nearly do a show on this question alone.
Why?
So Jaguar Land Rover are embroiled in a huge global legal battle in relation to this engine. This 2-litre diesel engine is called an Ingenium engine or Ingenium engine. And it's globally known as being incredibly problematic, so much so that some finance companies are backing out and they won't do finance deals if you're purchasing one of these vehicles and stuff. So again,
sorry, this is for the Range Rover Evoque specifically?
The engine that's in them is used across the Jaguar Land Rover brand in some Jaguars and some Range Rovers.
Nice, so Jeep, though, aren't they?
They're absolutely gorgeous with a huge price tag too. But the problem is that when they do, if and when they give these problems, the resale values drop drastically, incredibly poorly. So look, it's a really difficult one. You're in a very hard place. You can continue to look after that vehicle and you may have trouble-free driving for the next 10 or 15 years. But if it does give trouble, it does come with that big price tag. But yeah, a simple Google of Jaguar Land Rover Ingenium engine and you will see a litany of stuff.
If you were that listener now, would you get rid of that or keep it?
Wouldn't have bought it in the first place.
Really?
sorry. And look, I'm not bad-mouthing Jaguar Land Rover. They do make some fine engines, but it's this particular engine is, as I said, there's huge legal wrangling going on there in terms of early failures and stuff. So it's a difficult one. It's a really difficult one. And I don't really know what the right answer is because it's obviously embroiled in the financial implications there, you know. But if you have enough money to get out of it, you can get out of it, but you're definitely going to lose some money on the resale.
Now, this listener has a 2020 Hyundai. They're looking to sell it. They're wondering what kind of a price should they look to try and get for it? Has 100,000 kilometres mileage on it.
Yeah, again, kind of context. Well, I've no model there, so it's very difficult. Santa Fe versus a Hyundai 30 or two
we'll
completely
get that
different
listener
vehicles.
Maybe to send us a little bit more.
But even
info.
Just in general, in terms of pricing cars when selling it, it kind of depends on what you're buying. So if you're in a dealership and you're looking to roll into another finance deal, then your trade-in value might be different. If you're selling a car on the side of the road and you're looking to privately sell it, it'll be different.
Quick one. I had an accident. I need a new door in the car. It's a different colour, but it's a different colour from the rest of the car. How big of a job is it to get this sprayed and how much will it cost? It's a 2002 Subaru.
You could spend any amount of money. It really depends on the colours that are involved. So if you got a second hand door, because that's what seems like is after happening here, it might be silver and the car might be black and you want to match it. Matching a black car is quite easy and that mightn't be too bad. But if the car is black and the door is silver, then matching that up, issue. it might be a bit more costly. So you could be spending again a four figure wouldn't be surprising.
Now,
yeah, because you have to paint the adjoining panels as well. So it depends on the colours involved and the quality of the panel as well.
Joey, we'll have to get you back another day to answer listener questions. Joey Donnelly from Crofton Motors in Kimmage in Dublin. Joey, thanks a million for your time on the programme.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.